post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
There you go, the Cosmos days, bringing back a few memories for those I suppose the dwindling numbers that used to stand on the terraces or in the seats at Bruce Stadium. But that was Ice Cream Headache with David Gold, David Price and Peter Bayliss. And the lyrics and commentary from Chris Kunz. Chris Kunz, Bernie, do you know Chris Kunz?
I do, actually. Chris Kunz was involved in the first Canberra City from 1977, so it's good to see him involved with the Cosmos there, and maybe with our new team he'll be involved again.
That's right, maybe we just have to change a few words, and we've got the same song. Okay, this is the local Near Post show. We've got Peter Fennell on the mic, and Bernie Lustiger is with us in the studio. Welcome, Peter.
Eamon, g'day.
It's good to have you here. And now we've got we're going to start with the scores this week, Peter, from various competitions. Away you go.
Indeed, right. Men's Premier League, Belconnen 3, Canberra City 0. The Sunday games, O'Connor Knights 1, Canberra FC 3. Canberra Olympic 6, Woden Valley, sadly, 0. Queanbeyan 0, ANU 3.
We have to point out that that's your team, Woden Valley. Otherwise, people wonder why you're so sad. But anyway, go on.
Yes, Eamon, I'll move quickly. Tuggeranong United were on the bye, of course. The Women's Premier League, a couple of interesting results. Belconnen United 3, Belwest Foxes 3. That must have been a pretty good game, I think. Western Creek 0, ANU 1, and Woden Valley 4, Canberra FC 1. The Woden Valley Women's Premier League team continue to march to glory.
Yeah, well, see, not all bad for Woden Valley this week, Pete. See, swings and roundabouts in football.
Oh, mate. Exactly. look, the next games, one game I'd note that I think is worth getting to, the Men's Premier League, Canberra FC are playing Canberra Olympic. Woden played Olympic on the weekend, and they looked a pretty smooth outfit, actually.
So maybe the first test of the season for your old stomping ground, Bernie, and your current stomping ground, Canberra FC.
Yeah, a rematch of the Fed Cup final, I think, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, the Olympic looked good, and certainly Canberra FC definitely looked good, and both of them gave us a hard time. That's at Deakin on Sunday. Now, the Women's Premier League, the next round, I understand, is on the 14th of June, and clearly the game there for me would be Woden Valley playing the Belwest Foxes at Deakin.
Yep. Yep, okay, well, good couple of games to get out to if you've got...
Yep, now, this weekend, as I say, do yourself a favour and get to the Premier League 18s and 16s games. Often, dare I say, some of the best footballers played there. The games to get to, I would suggest to you, are the Woden-Belconnen games. Both of these clubs have got very strong 18s and 16s. In fact, the 18s... would probably, the majority of them know each other pretty well because they locked horns last year as under 16s and they fought it out in the competition and in the Kanga Cup, and they both play good football. So they're really worth seeing. Now, while I'm on the subject, it's about this time of the year that we have what might be loosely called the goal difference factor starts to impose itself on coaches and managers' thinking.
Tell us more, Pete. What do you mean, the goal difference factor?
Well, the truth of it is, as we approach the end of the first round, you've got to have an idea goal difference. Particularly if you're in the middle of the pack and you want to make a run, you don't want a stack of goals against you. Golden rule is very simple. Score more in a season than they score against you, and you're on the plus side.
Yep.
And if you've got a positive goal difference at this end of the season, the rule generally, again, is, and it bears it out, you're in the top half of the ladder. Now, let me just prove a point. If I look at the Premier League, Belconnen United plus 16, Canberra FC plus 17, ANU plus 5, Canberra Olympic plus 6, O'Connor Knights plus 3. That's the top half of the table. The rest is all in the minus. And they're the performers. No accidents there. If I go to the Premier Pathways, the difference is a good deal more stark. Belconnen United plus 22, Canberra FC plus 21, Canberra Olympic plus 11, Actas plus 3, ANU plus two, and the rest are all downhill from there. Now, jump to the 16s and say, same rule applies, Canberra FC plus 19, Academy is plus 25, Radford, ANU Radford, plus 17, Woden Valley plus 17, Belconnen plus 11. Strong competition, the rest drop off pretty quickly. As with all stats, someone has got to defy the rules, and the Premier League 18 competition, the zero goal difference or plus goal difference extends down to excluding the last two teams, indicates a point. That competition this year, well down into the order, is strong. I'm looking here at Tuggeranong United, and they're plus 13. It's when I saw them play Woden, it's hard to believe they're there. Now, but they're well positioned. It's a very good example. They're well positioned to make a run in the second round. They're up a lot of goals.
Okay, all righty.
Okay, so that's the goal difference factor.
Yep, all right.
Experts take notice.
Yeah, okay, get out there and do something about it.
The golden boot. Well, the leading scorers in the Men's Premier League, well, there's a chap called David Leet from Belconnen who's on 12, and Daylight is second.
Right, okay.
A lot of goals, that. In the Women's Premier League, we've got Jessica O'Brien and Grace Field. Well, Jessica O'Brien from Belconnen, or Belwest Foxes, I beg your pardon, and Grace Field from Woden Valley. They're both on 5. So that's how it pans out there. Capital football items.
Okay, we've got some news from around the
yep,
city.
Okay. Yeah, beg your pardon.
That's all right.
Capital football items. Notice the breaking news on the boomerangs last week. I noticed they've now got a
notice. You had a scoop there, Pete. A great scoop. Well done. First show and you're breaking the scoop, and now there's a...
Well, I noticed Capital Football have picked up now, and there's a notice on their website.
You're doing a great job, Pete.
Well, it'd be nice. I hope they get behind this in some fashion and make it easy for the principals involved. Interesting, the Capital Football are calling for coaches for their high-performance program. And I guess there's nothing unusual about that. And we've got a new curriculum, so perhaps they're looking ahead to see how this will go. But they're calling for coaches and assistant coaches for football and futsal. But it's the numbers I find fascinating. In football, if you combine the head coaches and assistants, they're calling for 31 coaches.
Crikey.
In futsal, they're calling for 46. Now, assuming there isn't any double dipping here, and there's bound to be, that's 77 coaches for their high performance program.
I might get a gig yet.
Yeah,
I might not be in the top 50, but I surely could come in.
How does that strike you, Bernie?
I find that interesting. I actually saw that on the website yesterday, and I'm not sure where we're going to get all these coaches from.
That was my thought.
What are they going to be doing, these coaches, these 77 coaches? Who are they running?
They're broken down in the age groups.
Men's and boys and girls. Various age groups through from the younger age groups through to
in the academy programs, is it?
Yes,
yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, anyway, well, it looks like we may well have Pat McCann on in 2 or 3 weeks' time, so that'd be good questions to put
to him. That'd be good. Yeah.
Now, there's a coach of education newsletter out. You get it by email. If you're not getting it, your coaches should.
Yeah, it's good. I think Pat McCann's been behind that. I think it's great.
There's some neat little things in there, including some resources, exercises, videos, and so on that you can link off to. They're announcing a seminar on, sadly it's on tonight, so I can't give you any notes on this, but the topic's interesting, Understanding Generation Y.
Okay, I'm going to move you along, Pete. You've got some more news. Let's flow through the news because I want to get onto Bernie.
Okay. Oh, dear me, we've got so much here, mate.
Go on, just roll through them.
The Friday night football debacle has effectively been resolved, where the players concerned have appeared at the disciplinary committee, and the player responsible for the single act of violence that attracted so much attention has been suspended for the rest of the season. Is it enough? Well,
Pete, that's next one. I'm conscious of time. Come on, we've got to go.
We just might skip now, mate.
Okay.
Take a break and then we'll get back to Bernie.
If we've got some more news at the end, we'll come back. Hold on.
Hi, I'm Lydia Williams from the Matildas. You're listening to 2XX 98.3 FM Community Radio. If you go into the near post, get there first.
Sorry to push you on there, Pete, but we've got a great interview, I think, with coming up with yourself and Bernie Lustiger. Bernie, of course, a long-known Canberra football stalwart, player, manager, coach. I don't know your full history, Bernie, but I know you've been heavily involved in Canberra FC and also back in junior football days, and a great supporter of the game. And I guess in the fortunate position of having a son who has just earned a contract with Gold Coast United. So it's a great journey, a father-son journey, and particularly for a father who's been so passionate and supporter of the game, to see your son, you know, take that step and to earn that contract. I know there's a great story out there, and Pete, you're going to put Bernie through the grill and go for it.
I think this will be easy. Bernie's got a real good story. Just by way of lead in here, for all of us parents and concerned coaches, what do you do when you have a child that's giving you some indication that they're talented? What do you do as a coach when you think you've got a bit of a rare talent to hand? How do you give them the opportunity to be as good as they might want to be? And in the case of young Stephen, Bernie's son, who's just 18, he's moved forward to being a professional player, so his story is far from ended. In some respects, he's perhaps at the beginning of the next bit. Bernie has helped guide his son through the reefs and shoals of becoming a very good young football player. As I say, his journey's a long way from concluded, but what we can get from Bernie is a story seen through the eyes of the parent. How Stephen would see it is another matter, but how Bernie sees it is very informative for us and for anyone out there who has a child that may wish to move forward. So let's just begin this way. How did you keep your feet on the ground as Stephen went through from junior to youth to elite?
Okay, that's a good question to start off with. To keep your feet on the ground as a parent is very difficult when you see some natural talent evolving, especially for myself, who played at a reasonable level in the National League, etc. But you've got to take a step back and look at the child as another player. And I was involved in junior coaching for a long time, and it's exciting to see your son performing well, but you need to step back and look at him as another player. How can you help that player? How can you help other players around him? And that was one of the things that was at the back of my mind when, you know, at 9 or 8 or 9, when Stephen started to, you know, look like he had some potential, and that wasn't through my eyes, it was through other people telling me, you know, who's that real small kid over there, you know, he's running rings around people.
So it was obvious that early?
Yeah, it was obvious that early, maybe not to the purist out there, because the bigger kids would pummel him to the ground, and he'd get up and do a few other tricks, etc. So it was tough to start off with to you know, watch your son develop and get criticised for playing a boy in a team that was a couple of years older than what he was, and that was brought about because he was, you know, reasonably too good for the his own age group.
You played him up?
Yeah, he played 2 years up for a couple of years.
That's a big jump at age, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it wasn't because I wanted him to do that. It was, he wanted to play in a competition where he extended himself a little bit more than normal, and he struggled a lot of the times playing up, but I think that developed his just his mental capacity and his toughness as a player that, you know, it wasn't going to be easy along the way.
Now, I'm betting you coached him.
I did. I didn't coach him initially. Mm-hmm. When he started playing at 6, I didn't coach him initially. Yep. I let him decide to play football on his own. He was never pushed into it. I was actually away from Canberra at the time when he started playing football. I was working in Sydney. And he started on his own, and his mother took him to training. Mm. His grandfather took him to training. And he developed a real big, quick passion for the game. It wasn't until around 10 or 11 that I started to coach him for the fact that he wanted something extra, and we did that together by ourselves. And I only did that for a couple of years as his team coach, and then moved on as well because...
Right. Well, that's a nice lead-in. Where did Stephen gain his technical skill, or would he gain his technical development and then skill development?
Well, technically, he developed that through his own ambition. When he first started to play, obviously, football, you dribble, you kick the ball, you head it, you try to juggle. All those things interested him. And he always gave himself targets as a young boy. I'm going to head it so many times. I'm going to dribble it so many times. I'm going to juggle it so many times. So he had a passion for this skill part of the game, which I saw develop on his own. As he got to an age of 9 or 10, you could see that he needed to be guided to develop that, because a child can't teach himself to get better.
How
he
did
can
you
only
achieve
practice.
That?
Well, we did a lot of things. You know, obviously I had my coaching certificate, so I knew you know, the curriculums and how best to look at developing Stephen. And it was basically give him the soccer ball, and he used to send his own targets. I mean, one story that people might find interesting is when I gave up coaching him, one coach gave him a task of juggling the ball 3,000 times when all the other kids were doing 500, and Stephen's record was 1,000 at the time. And he came home really angry one day and said, "Oh, the coach has given me this impossible task. It's 3,000. I said, "That's okay, you've got a whole season to do it." Well, in 4 days, his mother rings me on the phone and said, "Guess what's happened?" And I said, "What?" "Well, Stephen's just juggled 3,000 times in the backyard, and he made me count." And what he'd worked out was he couldn't count after a certain amount of time. It was just too much. So he got his mother out there after 4 days to count for him, and he got the 3,000 and, you know, went and told the coach, and that was it. So that's a really unusual example. And people say, "Oh, what's juggling got to do with football?" Well, it means a lot, because all the big players, Ronaldo and all those, they can juggle for days. There's players that can juggle that can't play. But that was just an example of his determination without anyone, his mother or father, telling him what to do. It was his coach.
So you've touched a couple of important characteristics, of course, that gets mentioned across many sports: the willingness to persevere and the self-discipline to apply themselves. Now, can I ask you to pick up Stephen's journey as you saw it? Because at the point at which he dropped into some formal elite training, when would that have first occurred?
Okay, well, that started... he played in the futsal ACT teams at age 10, and he went away to the national championship. So I actually coached one of the teams that he went away to, and they won the Australian championship that year.
Futsal helped?
So futsal was it's a passion of his as well. To this day, he loves it. And that was one of the things I was going to mention, that he has a great passion for futsal, and he was playing futsal till we went overseas last December. We went in January, but to December he's playing futsal with his mates at Deakin and some older players. So he's kept that passion. So that was the first formal ACT side that he started to play in. And then it started under 12s, I think, was the first year that they had an ACT side. He was selected, started to train. So that's through the, you know, what we call the academy programs now, 12s, 13s and onwards. And to me, that was important, because he was training with the best, the elite of his age group, but he was getting better coaching that he would get at club level. So that, to me, is an important step for any kid in the ACT, that, you know, if you're identified, you really should be playing, you know, with a team of players that are good or even better than you, and you can only improve.
You're listening to the Near Post, 2XX 98.3 FM. Peter Fennell was with us talking with special guest Bernie Lustiger in the studio tonight.
Well, could I jump you forward? So you've got this son of yours who's clearly a very talented young player. He's responding to training. He's getting better as he goes. And at a point, he obviously reached higher representative honours.
Yeah, well, representative honours basically led to the ACTAS program. He made ACTAS. But prior to that, you got your under-15s, under-14s. Yep. He participated in the Capital Cup, the next stage of the national championships, etc. So He went through all those, and credit to the coaches that had those teams, because that was extra training in addition to club training. Yep. And there was a lot of other boys that were at that level with Stephen as well. And
right, at what point did you and he conclude that it was time to look beyond club football and ACT football, and perhaps head for something of a more robust nature?
That actually came on its own. There's a lot of times that phone calls used to come from interstate. We've heard about your boy, and I'm asking the person on the other end, who are you? And you'd be, I'm an agent, and I've heard about your son. You should. So, to answer your question, we never really discussed, what are we going to do to, are we going to go overseas? We never discussed that. All we were worried about is have training sessions, see if you can improve, etc. Those things that came later on were possibly, came through other avenues. People have mentioned his name, or someone's seen him at the Kanga Cup, or he played well at the Nationals, all those things.
How did you filter all that stuff?
I went through these programs myself, so it was. Stephen's pretty level-headed. He actually doesn't think he is as good as he is, which is really unusual. He certainly hasn't taken that from me. I think I'm great, still great, but he's very level-headed, and that's helped him along the way, because he's continued to set himself goals. At a high level goals, and try to beat those goals.
Well, having talked to you prior to this interview, you've got a remarkably interesting story about yourself and Stephen when you went to Inter Milan for a trial. And I want to deal with that separately, but as a lead into this, lots of money in football, lots of promises made, and where there's lots of money, there's lots of sharks and charlatans. And people offering advice and masquerading as expert opinion. So against all of that background, why go overseas to be a better player? Why would you do it?
Again, that's a good question that you started off with. And I alluded to this before. We were approached by a lot of people telling us, you should come to us to England. You should come to us here. Mm. You should come. And I used to say, yeah, it was really exciting to hear that. But then I used to step back and think, well, what are we going to do? He's 14. Mm. What are we going to do overseas? Mm. And, is this going to cost me any money? How does that work? So you quickly filtered out the people that were looking at taking on maybe a joyride and helping you pay for their trip and your son along with it. So I filtered them out pretty quickly. And
that's the you pay solution.
That's right. Yeah. And I quickly turned around and said, well, if this kid's that good, doesn't he deserve a trip to be paid by you guys?
Yeah.
And quickly, that obviously there's a lot of people that fell by the wayside and they never rang again. Yeah. But, the Inter Milan thing came off. Stephen went to Croatia through Dinamo Zagreb. Yes. He went to Hajduk Split. All those trips were paid for him and his dad. And so why wouldn't you? So your question was, are you going to improve yourself? You're going to see what the other side of the world is like. And that's what has happened with Stephen. He's seen that, he's pretty good here, but once he got to go overseas and see the Dinamo players, the Hajduk Split players, he actually played against Barcelona, Montpellier, and now Inter Milan. He's seen, hey, mate, there's a lot of people out there that are better than me. And
if
I want to become a footballer, I need to lift my game a little bit. So to me, it was, for both Stephen and I, the best thing that could have happened is to go and have a look overseas. People always ask me now, why didn't you stay in Milan? And I said, well, the intention was never to go sign for Milan, because if that was going to happen, this kid would have had to be fantastic, and he wasn't at that level, in my opinion.
Okay, right. Well, I want to get to Inter Milan in a minute. Ask you a couple of leading questions about this young player overseas routine. Does the player need a manager or a dad at that point?
Well, to be honest, Stephen's only got a manager now since he signed for the Gold Coast. Right up until that day that he signed with the Gold Coast, he didn't have a manager. I looked after him there. However, he got to a stage where, well, I got to a stage where I just could not field any more phone calls, and it was way past what I could help Stephen or help the situation.
That's the lesson, isn't it?
Yeah. You need to pass it on to professionals, and obviously be careful who you choose and whatever.
Right. Now, take us to Inter Milan. What happened there? What did you see as the parent?
Yep.
And if you can tell me the stuff you've told me where it's appropriate, how did they debrief you and the decisions you made from that?
The experience was absolutely amazing. We'd probably need a couple of days to talk through it, but I'm trying to summarise as quickly as I can, is that they offered him this trial. He trained with them for 10 days with their under-18 side. Training is closed to all parents. You can watch it from a gate from outside. That's about as close as you can get. Mm. They allowed me to go in, film everything. They treated him like royalty, basically. It was fantastic, and he enjoyed it immensely.
And they paid for it all.
When it finished, the 10 days were up. The first thing that they did was they presented with a signed Figo centenary shirt, which blew us all out of the world because it was absolutely fantastic, signed. They sat down with us and said, well, you know, congratulations, you've just had 10 days with Milan, Inter Milan, one of the biggest clubs in Europe. Mm. Only six of the boys out of the 18 were Italian, so 12 boys were non-Italians. So that's what they do, they scout around the world. They were impressed with Stephen, and they told him that, you know, at 17 turning 18, they believe he has a good future. They would offer him to stay in one of their third divisions, similar to what Valeri did, and they thought he had a great future. What they also said to him that when he was 15, he got offered this thing, but unfortunately broke his leg.
Mm.
Had he performed to this level when he was 15, they tied him there, and then they would have brought him over and the whole family. They would have wanted to see him. But at 18, for them, it's too late. They want to get their players there for 4 or 5, 6 years and develop them. And by age 20, 21, they're Inter Milan players. They might not necessarily play for Inter Milan, but they'll shoot them off to other clubs. One other statistic they gave us was in 15 years, they had about 5 junior players go through Inter Milan.
And what did you and Stephen conclude from that forthright piece of advice?
We concluded that it would be better to come back to Australia, considering that he did have offers from Gold Coast and Sydney FC to come back and play with them. We obviously churned it over, but we also saw we were guests there for 10 days, or actually it was nearly two and a half weeks.
Mm.
We were there, but 10 days were the training. We concluded that we lived together and everything was fine. How would you cope on your own, Stephen? And the answer was it'd be very difficult to cope on your own.
Yes.
And the fact that is, you won't be playing first team, you'll be playing youth team reserve grade. And you probably would have another 3 or 4 years to maybe break into, you know, the top level. And that's where a lot of players fall down. They go there too early, not really ready to perform at the top level, and then they come back.
And you've ended there with an excellent point. That if the offer is made, you've got a whole new set of decisions about what you do with your family and how you support the child
Right.
I hope that's helped the viewer out, the listener out there, the listener out there.
It's a great story, Peter.
Lots of promises made, but you've actually walked the walk. The important thing for me out of this interview is that if the player is really that good, how come you should be putting your hand in your pocket?
That's right.
That's right.
One thing that I like to get across to parents is, to spend a lot of money to go overseas. Everyone knows what the airfares are like.
Yeah.
$2,500 to get to England, or 1,800 times two is 5,000, plus a hotel, plus meals. We're talking $10,000-$15,000 to go over for 10 days. You must be aware of what you're getting into. And I wasn't prepared to do that for the sake of being, you know.
Great advice, Bernie, and a great interview. And I think listeners would like to hear a lot more from Bernie, your journey, with Son Stephen, because I think it's a fantastic journey. Yeah. But a really important message to get out there, as there are a lot of people out there trying to get their kids into a high level of football, and that willingness to pay, you need to do it. So thanks very much for joining us tonight, Bernie.
It's been a pleasure.
And we wish Stephen particularly and yourself a continued success and a great journey through football.
Thanks very much.
And thanks, Peter, for being with us.
Thanks for your candor, man.
And if you're going to Near Post, Peter?
Get there first.
You've got it, mate.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.